I realized that there are multiple purposes, and those purposes we create. And it's not just one purpose that you have, but there are many of them. But if you don't know what it is, it's totally okay, and it's totally normal. I've learned that too, through a hard way, to understand that you're not on anyone's timeline. So there are people that discover their journey in life or their purpose when they're 15, 60. So, mm-hmm. And there are some that are born and they're like, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and they just go for it. So everyone is different, and it's totally okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purple Stars podcast. I'm Sarah, your host. And our guest today, she's an entrepreneur, life coach, wellness expert, and she is a sunshine in person. And we're so lucky she's going to share her expertise with us and her positive vibes. Please welcome Elena Danielova.
Hello. Thank you so much, Sarah, for having me. I'm super excited and honored.
Yes, we are so excited too. And it's actually our second time scheduled interview, because the first time I had to cancel, actually for a very positive situation. I sent you a message saying, hey, I'm adopting my dog today. I'm really sorry, but we got to postpone.
That's totally fine. You know, this is the best excuse, and I was totally okay to reschedule. Puppies are important. I went through that as well, and I know how much of a combination of things that you got to deal with.
Oh yeah,
a new family member.
Yes, and it's so much joy. And maybe we actually start off with your really cute dog, Chanel. Can you share a little bit with the audience about your not so puppy anymore, but still it's always a kid? How did you find her, or how did she find you? And yeah, and then we take it from there.
You know, I've always wanted a dog. I've had dogs throughout my life, but it was when I was little, so parents were there to help. I just wanted a furry friend, but I also wanted to make sure that I'm committed to it and I have time. And she's kind of like my manifestation. She was on my vision board for a long time. I really wanted a mini golden doodle. I've always envisioned how it would feel, how it would play, the personality of her. And a year and a half ago, I got her. She was my fulfillment. So it's her name is Chanel, the joy of my life, the cutest, the kindest, and the most joyful being ever.
I love that you put her on your vision board and that you manifested her. Can you tell us what the process of visualizing and also the process of the vision board looked like? Was it like the characteristics or how you feel when you have her and things you do together? Because everyone has a different way of visualizing and creating their vision boards.
For sure. I mean, it's all of the above. I create vision boards that are on just paper, but oftentimes a lot of things change. So I just put it on my phone. I have a folder that's my visualization, and it was a picture of this mini golden doodle. Maybe about 4 years ago or five, I started noticing this breed. Like, who are they? What are those? And I found it, I Googled, and I fell in love with the eyes, with the way they look, the cuteness of it. They look like a plush teddy bear. So that got my attention, and I put it on my picture. I'm like, I want this. I can envision how she's going to feel. And it was always a her. It was never a boy too. And it was always a red color, which is really unique. And, you know, throughout the time, I would just go on with my day. But the way it happened, which was really funny, I told my boyfriend, I told him, I said, if you really want me to quit my 9-to-5 job, and I knew he would never get me a dog, but I said, if you really want me to quit it, get me a dog. I want a dog. But I said it with such confidence because I knew, first of all, it's a lot. It's a lot of responsibilities. It's going to be a lot of expenses, almost like onboarding a family member, which, you know, a family member. And I just said it out loud and whatever, forgot about it. Here comes the time, and I think he either really wanted me to progress and leave that job that didn't serve me really well. But he said, okay, this is the deal. If this is the deal, then let's do it. Let's get you a dog. I was shocked. And I was like, wait, is it a joke? Like, are the cameras around me? And I was like, are you sure? Do you know what we're committing to? He's like, no, I really want you to. This would be good. And it just kind of all went, fell into place afterwards. That's where, you know, it just like naturally manifested the connection, the people that I was talking to. They were asking me questions to make sure I'm responsible human being mm-hmm. and I'll take care of her. And then they sent me a picture and a video, and I was just like, this is it. Her personality, the way she was playing with that ball, that was one of the first videos I saw. I was like, this is my baby.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that. Can you share, before we talk more about Chanel, what was your 9-to-5 job?
Oh, my 9-to-5 job was working with a doctor's office. And that doctor was his specialty. He was an anesthesiologist. And we worked with mental health patients. So helping with anxiety, depression, PTSD. We worked with trauma people. But we worked in a very unconventional way. It was an alternative medicine using ketamine. Mm-hmm. And ketamine infusion. So I know it's a big trend right now. Elon Musk is being busted for that too, or being a spokesman. But, you know, that was my last position. And I definitely truly enjoyed that. But I've loved my doctor and patients that I worked with as a patient coordinator and office manager. But at the same time, I felt like it is time for me to move. And my boyfriend just jokes, you're like too committed, but you really have to make a step if you really want to make a difference in your life and go for something bigger. You really have to go into what you fear the most. So he kind of encouraged me to do that.
It's so beautiful. And you know what I love, love, love about the story? I mean, a lot of things, but your dog reminds you every day how much you get rewarded when you take that leap of faith.
Oh, 100%. I like that you pointed it out, for sure. Because when that was actually, the conversation started about getting her, I was biting my elbows. I'm like, how? Like, I should have come up with something that would be more unachievable. But, you know, she's just a great reminder. And that's right. Every day, even when I have challenging moments where I'm fully drained, emotionally unavailable, she comes up, she hugs me, and she kind of gives me that push. It's like, you know, it's possible. Keep going, rest up, whatever. She doesn't talk to me, but I feel that encouragement from her, and it's really rewarding.
Oh, I love that. So she's basically your cheerleader, just with fur, right?
She is. She's my baby. I know she loves both of us, but we have a very strong bond. She has very similar personality as I do. She was born on the same month, in the same month mm-hmm. that I was. And just, I don't know, we go hand in hand so well. She's very intuitive and sensitive to people, to things around her, and notices little things that...
I love that.
We're compatible.
Yeah, I am a strong believer that our pets find us. And that it's always like, it's a little bit like dating and then marrying that person, you know, like when it's meant to be, we're compatible on so many levels. So I'm not surprised that you said, oh, we have the same zodiac sign and we have similar personalities.
I don't know if that thing exists, but yeah, it's like we're very similar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my story is a little different. I know people go usually to adopt, right? And that was initially my goal. I really wanted to adopt a dog, but I also knew there was so much responsibility and how you appraise them because they went through multiple experiences that may have traumatized them. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be fully available and present for that. But also the way I picked her, it's not like I went to the store and actually saw her, liked her personality, and grabbed her. It's mm-hmm. more of just based on the pictures and videos, because she was coming all the way from Indiana mm-hmm. in the middle of, you know, America. So that I think something just clicked, something that draw me to her. And there it is. Oh,
that's amazing. And what do you feel in your current chapter of life she is teaching and reminding you the most?
Oh, I think I've shared with a lot of my audience on social media, especially when she was little. It was really refreshing to see her discover the world and notice little things, being so joyful, being spooked, and just showing curiosity for everything. The trainer that helped me with Chanel, how to train her and do basic things so I don't get super overwhelmed, she told me that dogs learn things through mouth. They explore because they don't have hints, they don't have words. So the way that they communicate is way different and explore the world. And I would always walk with her outside and she would like chase the butterfly and try to like bite on it because she doesn't know what it is. And, you know, even to this day, she wakes up, she's super cheerful and she is happy that it's a new day. That means she's going to play with her toy. And it's just like a constant reminder of being grateful for each day that you have, no matter what's happening. I feel like there are a lot of energetic shifts that are happening in the world, but just finding or being intentional of setting your mood in a positive way and finding the good around you, just like her.
It's very similar with our puppy. He is so grateful and excited about everything, like every day when I take him for a walk. It is as if I'm taking him for the first time. Every time when he sees another dog, or even when I give him like a empty paper roll, like, you know, like something, he's just like, wow, this is amazing. I'm loving my life. This is just the best ever. Why would someone be ever sad? And it's so, so beautiful to see what actually happens when we are living in the moment, mm-hmm. how little we need.
Yes.
Exactly. If we choose to be happy and to be grateful for the moment we get mm-hmm. to experience.
Yeah. And the more we focus on that, the more I feel like abundance we experience. That's how mm-hmm. I feel. The more you notice the little things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this actually brings me to my next question. Can we talk more about your career journey? Because you mentioned 1.5 years ago, you quit your job. And now you have a wellness life coaching community of more than 1 million followers just on Instagram. How did all of this happen? And where were all the seeds sown along the way within your heart, within your soul, and in your mind?
Oh, that's a very loaded question. Let's see, where do I begin? Yeah, my journey, I have big social presence right now. I actually never thought that would, I didn't know it was going to happen. I wasn't aiming for this. And the way it grew just brought me to different services and conversations and connections. But I guess it traced back to my work. So I've worked in the medical field for close to a decade. The way it started, I just randomly got that position. I got this position because honestly, at that time I was married and I got a divorce. And at that time I also worked as a business developer for the business company, like a startup. So I was helping and being involved, which was amazing. Everything was going well. I was married, happy, like about to build a family. Then I scored this job straight out of college almost to work aligned with my business administration. And while that ended, it kind of left me as like, oh, what am I supposed to do now? I thought I was like right on track. Everything was perfect. I saw exactly what my mission was. And my girlfriend at that time, she worked for a doctor's office. And she's like, hey, there's a position. You need a job. Go work for it. It's a medical office. It was a part-time. It wasn't even a full-time job. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do this. And as I was working, of course, I was going through major emotional breakdown. It was just relationship, then the career and the unknown. It's like, what am I doing with my life? Am I living my purpose, so to speak, right? And it was just taking a toll on me. I was showing up, do my job, the part-time job, being very robotic in my movements just to get over it. But I started noticing a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, just a lot of feels that I've never felt. And it was just taking a toll on me. I was kind of spiraling down, tried to numb it and just go with it because I felt like I lost the sense of purpose in my life. And then here I am at this job. I used to lead people. I used to manage an office. And now I'm sitting here at the office. So one day I had a panic attack, which I actually didn't even know such thing existed until the doctor told me, you need to talk to me. He pulled me aside and I had a conversation. He's like, look, how are you showing up for yourself? What are you doing? You need to reset. If you need time to take a break from your job, I'm definitely willing to help you with that and support you, but this is not okay. You're just going the sense. And I can't thank him enough for this, for his support. I think I was really lucky with just being there, and it reminded me that maybe I should need to create like something purposeful that I'll be doing and I'll be happy that I'm doing. So I started this job working full time, and I'm going deep inside. Is that okay?
Right. The deeper, the better.
I don't think I ever like share this, but
I love it.
You know, I think a lot of people just see me as this famous influencer with lots of followers and they think everything is easy, but no. I mean, I've hit so many roadblocks and so many experiences that I've had that really turned around my perspective. So going back into that position, I just decided, I felt like I was damaging my own self, my own thinking, and compromising in a negative way, that I need to change my perspective and find a purpose of actually being intentional and living intentionally, having close connections and interactions with wherever I'm at now. Forget about what I'm supposed to do. Let's make a better day, day by day, and survive. And not even survive, but actually live in the momentum. So I've realized that not only me has problems, all of these patients that come into the doctor, they have physical illnesses, have situations at home, they're not well. They come in, they show up, and they're very vulnerable. What can I do better? Maybe they won't remember this part-time front desk girl, but what can I do to make them feel helped, heard, and smooth their transition into the doctor's office so they can do whatever they need to do to feel better? And that was my focus. I was just trying to be really intentional in my conversations. And I believe that like my journey, even discovering, because I've always thought purpose is just one thing, what you're supposed to know. As soon as you graduate, you're supposed to do this and live your whole life happily ever after. Even going back into my school years before I graduated high school, what's the question? What are you going to do with your life? Or my dad back in the days, I think with his older generation mentality, would say, okay, you're supposed to either go into economics or psychology, not dance, because if you want to be successful, this is the line of work you should do. So I think that really settled in me. So I had this society pressure, perhaps, or just in general, that understanding that we'll live by. But as I lived through it, I realized that there are multiple purposes, and those purposes we create. And it's not just one purpose that you have, but there are many of them. But if you don't know what it is, it's totally okay, and it's totally normal. I've learned that too through hard way, to understand that you're not on anyone's timeline. So there are people that discover their journey in life or their purpose when they're 15, 60. So, and there are some that are born and they're like, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and they just go for it. So everyone is different and it's totally okay. But all of these thoughts as I'm going through the transition with my breakup, with revisiting, learning, and building my career. Not only I've learned that I can make a purposeful living, being intentional, making connections, tap into something that I've liked. I've always feel like I naturally wanted to help people. And, my friends always joke, like, go to Lena. She'll talk to you. Make you feel better. It was just like maybe a natural thing of mine where people felt safe to come and talk. Not necessarily I had a full life experience and psychological degree, but something about it. And it made me feel good because I wasn't only showing up for myself, taking care of myself and being intentional with my life, but I'm also showing up for other people, making them feel good, making meaningful connections. So that doctor's office job was just like a life learning journey for me that made me realize that it's not what I've envisioned as far as the purpose. And the more I started tapping into the office work and building those connections and talking to people, it opened up more conversations. It got me to promotions and led me to growth. I ended up managing that office, helping doctor open up another office. And that led me into getting promoted and scoring this awesome job at the hospital and working emergency department. And it's just, you know, when you take a moment to focus and see how do you want to feel instead of what I'm supposed to do, but how do I want to feel? How do I want to demonstrate myself? How do I want to make others feel around me? That was my purpose. And that's how my whole medical journey started. I just worked. It just happened to be that I worked doctors for doctors in my last job, working with the ketamine clinic and helping people through the journey as well.
Before we transition into your current chapter, mm-hmm. I want to just quickly repeat once more for the audience to really let this sink in, because you said so many powerful messages. And one of them is we can have multiple purposes. Mm-hmm. And it's why it's so important to me to repeat that, because I get so many messages and also questions. Oh my God, you know, people have this purpose anxiety. They don't know what their purpose is. They're scared they will fail it and would never meet and like never figure it out. And I also always tell them your purpose can evolve. Mm-hmm. It's not something you need to commit once you graduate and stick to it your entire life. And also in the end, what is purpose? It is, you know, like being true to our own gifts and being true to our own nature and being of service and doing what makes us feel good. And that comes to the second big message you were sharing. Sometimes when we're so stuck with finding our purpose, like let's take a step back and actually ask ourselves rather than what should I be doing, more like how do I want to feel?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's why I really wanted to repeat those two messages.
Yes. And I hope it sinks in for sure for other people, because everyone wants to rush it. That's how I felt. And I'm sure some people can relate to it. I wanted to rush to get to that. This is it. Mm-hmm. Without even realizing like what I want from this, how do I want to feel? And, you know, Gary Vee, if anyone knows him, he's very straightforward with his messages. And I love what he said once. If you don't know what your passion is, just try things. Because sometimes you don't even know what you're passionate mm-hmm. about. Through my journey with the medical office, I didn't know that I'm really compassionate and I have a particular gift to nurture, to help people, maybe through my skills. But the more I tapped into it, the more I felt like I was able to contribute. And that was something. So explore, figure out your passions, your interests, because that's where also can lie down, following your heart pretty much.
Absolutely. And what was your heart telling you when you quit your job other than getting Chanel? Like how do you build the bridge to becoming a life coach and the wellness expert? Like, from everything you've said, to me, it's quite clear because you were already helping people and you were already very much in touch with self-care and health and mental health. So I do think the seeds were all sown along, you know, within that decade. But how did you take the leap of faith to make the decision to say, okay, that's not what I'm doing?
Oof, that was a hard one to me. Maybe it seems so easy. I felt like there's more that I can do, more than just be in the office. There's nothing wrong with working 9-to-5 job, working with a team. But I just felt like I'm meant to share a little bit more of the experience or be there and do more. Like that just felt like something inside, but I've always had the fears. Like I'm not like a very recognizable coach, or I'm not this or that. And I just felt like maybe I won't have that recognition, fear of stepping into my own life pretty much. But I've seen 3 years how medical field, how health cares, how it works. And there's like a lot of lack and there's no connecting bridge. We either give a lot of medications to people to numb them. People have side effects from that, but they don't know how to cope with that. You go to therapy sessions, which is incredible. And it's important to talk and find a professional to have conversations, but you also need to follow up, make actions, and do work. And I felt like I wanted to provide and help people or hold them even accountable. So to hold the space for them so they can make this change rather than just getting the medicine. And then what do, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a hard decision. It was really scary. So scary. I cried so many days. But when you're stepping into something that you're meant to do, or when you're stepping into your own fears, there's so much of unknown, but it's a huge blessing because you discover amazing things and you're like, well, why didn't I do this before? On a daily basis, I have people message me and direct message me. You saved my life. Thank you. You contributed. I'm like, how? But you're like this little speck in the ocean that can have a ripple effect on everyone. How you talk, your attitude, your message. And that just inspires me and makes me want to move forward, hopefully with my message, with whatever I do, that, you know, they can also take the power, regain their power and shine and be bright.
I thank you so much for sharing also that you were incredibly scared, terrified, and that you cried for days when, you know, like finally stepping into being a coach. And the reason why I love it so much is many people have this romantic idea when they start something new that they feel all like fiery and excited and passionate. But I want people to remember when we walk through a new door, even if this door leads to something greater and more amazing and something that makes us feel more alive, whether it's a job, a relationship, a friendship, a dog, it comes with anxiety. With anxiety because we don't know, even if it's great, but what is the great thing? So it is very normal to feel fear, even if we're walking through a door that is exciting. And you mentioned that you are, I'm repeating in my own words, you are filling a lot of gaps. That's how I would say it for people, especially when it comes to their wellness journey and their health journey and also their life journey. And what I find very admirable, you are integrating into your coaching also dance and intuitive painting. Can you share why and what inspired you to bring in those elements for people to live their fullest lives?
Sure. Oh, well, dancing is movement. dancing is also something out of your element. Not many people dance. I mean, probably professionals, but you put yourself on the dance floor, not to only bounce to music, but you have to learn the steps. There is a coordination equivalent. So I think it's just like a beautiful challenge that you could do. A lot of people fear dancing because they think they don't have rhythm or they don't know the steps, but it's not all about it. It's just like being on the dance floor, gaining that confidence. And when you're on the dance floor, you're never unhappy. There's no such thing. Like, you dance, you're happy. So that was one of my ways. The reason why I restarted dancing is because my previous job was a little bit demanding and stressful. It's just very, there's a lot of things happening. And I felt like what better way wouldn't be than just start dancing and find the activity that's uplifting me and making me sweat, making me work out, because it's really great in calories as well. Calorie.
This is Chanel. Chanel. She's like, too much talk about other things. What about me? I know.
So, and I just kind of show, I'm not a professional dancer knowing how to properly dance, but even...
I want to interrupt you for everyone who has not seen your videos. You have all these medals and all sorts of things, and when you dance, like, I love how you downplay your gifts. You're like, oh, I'm really not professional. If people see your videos, because I actually looked up, I'm like, was she like in Olympic Games when she was a teenager?
You're so kind. I should take the credit.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just, again, I didn't dance my whole entire life. And I feel like people are being stopped to try out new things because they think, well, they didn't do it before or they're not as good as where they're at now. But everything starts from the ground up. Whenever you learn a skill to bike, you need to learn how to even sit on it, right, before you can bike. And so we forget those things. And I'm just hoping that with my dancing that I can move. I just encourage people to move at home as well and try things, which they do. Although so many people write and say, I finally started dance class and I love it. It's such a social interaction. I met new friends and I feel more confident even in life. Forget about even on a dance floor. You don't need to know this perfection of sweeping feet properly. It's all about just bringing yourself to the new level of confidence in a very fun and creative way.
I love that. And it comes with so many life lessons, because what's really happening is actually the ripple effect outside the dance floor. Yeah. You know, like having the courage to be an amateur at something, to be a beginner, having the courage to dance with people that are already much better, but actually knowing, okay, that's fine. We all started. Yeah. And also having the understanding what you, and I love the analogy you brought with bikes. Very often, because we see all these people on Instagram, how they're already really great at something, whether it's painting or dancing or photography or writing poems, it all starts with like poems that never make it into a book. It all starts with like stepping on the toes of our dance partner. It all, you know, like it all starts with that. And it's about the journey. And it actually comes back to what you shared earlier. Let's not rush it. Let's not rush it and take your time and actually enjoy it. And I heard a singer, he was interviewed right now. I can't remember who it was, but someone asked, what is your advice for people who want to become a successful singer? And he said, don't skip the journey.
Yes, that's the beauty of the journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't skip the journey. So I love what you said. And, and also, why intuitive painting?
Oh, so good question. The way it started, it happened right after, during the COVID times or the end of COVID times. It got to the point where it's like, okay, I've had enough of Netflix. There's no social connection. And I wanted to do something more like creative and fun, and I miss that. So I reached out to a few of my girls and I said, hey, what if I do intuitive painting, but it won't be like a paint and wine kind of night. I'm not going to show you how to draw trees, but I want us to go like a little deeper and connect with your intuition, with your child. And they're like, totally supported it. We did it. It was beautiful. I started with the guided meditation just to kind of bring ourselves into the moment. And the idea was to help facilitate that journey for everyone where they can explore with paint, be like a kid, like, you know, this is their playground, and just without any judgment, go for it and explore themselves in a different way. And it was a success that led me to somehow into a wellness retreat where I hosted it for much more people, leading the intuitive painting. And I've decided to incorporate this into my coaching as well. I work with clients. I started doing group sessions in Los Angeles at the Vibe Studio, which is super close to Santa Monica.
Yep.
But I've done this summers in such a transformational and beautiful and gentle way of connecting with yourself, because it's a very intimate thing. Whenever you paint, you think you're just doodling or using paintbrushes that you don't know how to use, but you're actually into like tapping into your intuitive self, and that opens up a lot of emotions. Some people cry, some people are happy, some find and notice the difference of how they act and how much of limitation and restriction they feel from the outside world. So this exercise is just to show that there's an alternative way how you can let go, relax, be happy, try things. And I also do the neurographic art, which is a powerful way of working with your subconscious mind while doodling. And you kind of just work through any blocks that you could possibly have. So I'm very hands-on myself. And I like a little bit different rather than just talk. I like action. I like to see transformation. I like to feel different after. So I feel like using these really helps people to see that there are a lot of things that they can take charge in their daily life and make a difference rather than only doing a talk.
So. For people who would like to try intuitive painting and who are not living close to you, what would you suggest for people to, how can they get started in their own bedroom or living room or wherever they feel comfortable trying it out?
Of course, all you just need, even a piece of paper, grab a few colors, turn on nice music and cap yourself for, let's say, even an hour. This is your me time separated. And just start painting. It's very relaxing in general. Even if you don't know how to paint, you don't really have to know the structure of it. But use the colors, then ask you for a feeling. But put an intention. What's your intention for that particular thing? Do you want to just relax, or do you want to explore yourself? And without any judgment and without any excuses, oh, I'm a horrible painter, go for it.
Yeah. It's such a great idea. And I think it's similar to dancing or anything, allowing ourselves without a plan and without a goal, mm-hmm. but an intention to try it out. Because we are so wired in our society. Okay, we go on the run and we got to be quicker than last time. We, like, even yoga now, like in so many places, oh, I'm doing this because I want to do the split. I'm doing this because I want more abs. So I love your approach of actually doing it for the experience rather than for the result. For sure. And dancing and painting are such beautiful outlets to do that. And what I love about the dance part is that you are incorporating all of us, like the body, the mind, and the soul. Because I see it with a lot of coaches. They are great coaches. However, they are mainly working with the mind and the heart, but they don't really incorporate the body. And I think it's so important, because if we release all these emotions, where are they going if we're not moving our body?
Exactly.
So it's such a great combination.
Yeah, there's no, you know, it's never good to suppress any emotions, but you have to have outlets. even like, I'm sure you've seen like somatic experiences mm-hmm. that they do, shaking off that energy, dancing. So incorporating this in the move, because you want your body to live and you create the space for new positive emotions rather than holding those old ones in holding attention in your muscles, in your body, in your mind, and in your heart.
Yes, it's so great. And you just mentioned the shaking with somatic exercises. Mm-hmm. And there are so many other ones, the butterfly hug, or like anything that's basically slow movement and focused inward rather than the perception, what the body looks like and the goal. And so many people's lives get transformed with somatic exercises.
Yes.
It's amazing how also the nervous system gets a reset, mm-hmm. Even for the physical health, for all sorts of relationships with themselves, with others, weight loss. And I mean weight loss, not just physically, but all the emotional and the yes. mental weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
detox.
Why, yeah, detox. It's so, so, so much. And as a wellness expert, are there some... So I'm not a huge fan of trends because I think, you know, a journey is a journey and it's not about, oh, this looks cool now and that's what everyone else is doing. But I do think it's nice to try new things out and maybe then incorporate them. So I have two questions. One is, as a wellness expert, what are routines that are your go-tos on a daily basis?
Uh-huh.
And also, are there any trends right now that you love and that you tried yourself and that maybe our audience should look out for in 2024?
Okay. So first question, the routines. I think routines are really important because if you have your routine and you're consistent with that, no matter of whatever shakeups they have, at least you'll feel some sort of sanity. Morning routines for me is crucial. I wake up, I do my meditation, guided meditations. I do journaling, what I'm grateful for, because it helps me set the tone of the day for sure. Kind of gives me that positive push. And making the bed is always so important. So many clients that I
talk yes.
to, I'm like, just that little deed that you did, it's not about... you know, it like makes you feel successful. It's organized and clean. And this is the first thing that you did on your to-do list. Check, and you are already advancing. So definitely. And I do saunas. That's been my thing lately. And it makes me feel good. Not specifically for the trend. I actually can't handle heat too much. So I'm being very mindful of that. But it just brings me into this ooze. I try my best not to look at the phone the first thing in the morning because then you get wrapped up with emails, notifications, to-do things.
And it's a downward spiral.
There were so many days when I would check my phone in the morning while in bed and read comments on socials. And I would cry. I'm like, I did this to myself. It's like, this is not how I want to start my morning. So a lot of things can, you know, like we said, it's the first thing in the morning. How do you want it to make it happen? You're still kind of lucid dreaming. So I'm very dedicated to this. I think it's really important. Same thing as your bedtime routine.
I was just about to ask, what's your bedtime routine?
Bedtime routine, no phones, set up the lights very easily. Lately, I've been also disconnecting the Wi-Fi too, so there are no radiation and signals. I can't watch TV while I'm asleep. Some people do that, or my partner will fall asleep. Because it like stimulates your brain, and while you think you're asleep, it still receives information.
Mm-hmm.
That's disturbing. And then I do, when I close my eyes, I'll just do my mindful checkup or checking in with the day, like, how do I feel? And the toughest part, what I've noticed, even working with my mentor, sometimes she'll be like, you do, but do you acknowledge things of what you're, do you celebrate yourself in small successes?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important going to bed, not be frustrated with yourself. I didn't do this, or having that thought of frustrated conversation you've had with a friend, But give yourself a little up, you know, like I did this, I celebrated, even if I didn't push hard, I'm so proud of myself. And again, just bringing your awareness to what you're grateful for. Having that type of mentality in your mind before you fall asleep will give you more ease at resting. Mm-hmm.
Also, it sets the tone how you wake up.
For sure. Yes. Just like this little box in our head.
Oh, yeah.
It can decide bring you
so
up
much or down.
Bring you down.
Yes. And I love that you mentioned the morning and the evening routine. Mm-hmm. Because I see a lot of people when they say, oh, I have my routine, but I went off track that morning. I checked my phone. I, you know, like I had my coffee too early and this, that. So I just need to wait till the next day to do it right again or till next Monday, which is actually even worse.
Yeah.
And I always, and I always explain, or after Christmas.
New Year resolution.
New Year's resolution. But we can pick every moment to do something that makes us feel better.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Every single moment. And as I am a big fan of morning and evening routines, what I've also found as a big game changer is having certain routines throughout the day. So what I'm actually doing like throughout the day when I go on a walk, I'm asking myself already, what am I grateful for the last 4 hours? I really feel it makes such a big difference that we also incorporate throughout the day little check-ins. So in between our morning and bedtime routines, that we have some, you know, it could be as simple as a few deep breaths. What am I grateful for right now? Or checking in with your body. How do the soles of my feet feel? How are my shoulders? How is my posture? The jaw, I think, is such a big thing, especially for people who are like high performers and grinding and like stressed. Yeah. So I think it's great also to have those little check-ins throughout the day. And are there any trends to look out for in 2024? Or are you like, you're not a big fan of trends either?
Trends. Everyone. Yeah. I mean, there are many. I truly believe that everything kind of comes from within mm-hmm. first when you have to focus. And the other things, the beauty of the fast advancement and these technological improvements is amazing, but that won't that won't really resolve the situation unless you really dive deep. But amazing things, trends that are now, it's like cryotherapy, which I really enjoy. It rejuvenates you. I don't know if breath work is still a trend, but I love doing breath work because with the breathing and that intentional breathing, you kind of also decompose yourself and detox from all of the tensions that you had made by mind or even like whatever you're holding inside. So it's good to do things like that. These are like the trends that are coming to mind for sure.
That's great. And you know what I would really love to talk about as well. It's not a trend, but definitely something that we do for ourselves. It's wellness, to feel comfortable within our skin. And I think it's a really big thing. You recently started a luxury organic custom spray tan. I want to know all about it. How did the idea come? Like, where was the idea born? What's the mission with it? And how has your business venture been so far?
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it started about 2 years ago. I decided to start my side hustle and do a spray tan, open up my company. I don't really support the idea I'm very cautious and mindful of the idea when you tan outside. There are a lot of risks to it. Possibly it could cause skin cancer. I'm very pale myself, so just being mindful of how you can look glowing and without harming yourself. And I've done spray tans throughout life. Some of them were perfect, some of them were not. I had scares, but I just felt like I've always felt great when I did the tan. I feel more confident, just the little color and things that it can do to you. And like I said, it was a side hustle. I didn't really intentionally want to open up something grand, but I've realized as I was meeting clients on that end how happy it makes them feel and how I'm a part of their beautiful journey, even this a part of small part of the journey. So I wanted to continue that and make it more mindful and actually share and spread awareness, because not many people know what a spray tan is actually, and why would you do that, and why wouldn't you go to tanning beds? And we know tanning beds has bad UV rays. Actually, Australia already banned that. So you pay a fine if you go to, the business pays a fine if they go and open up UV beds. So obviously there's a lot of research behind it that shows it's not really healthy to lay out. And there are things even for your beauty. How can you optimize your beautiful self is avoid sun exposure, wear sun protection so you can have nice skin without as many wrinkles, right? You look great now, but what would you look like when you're old? So I just wanted to push that and felt like it would be a great venture for me as a new businesswoman entrepreneur. So I'm very proud to have that company. And I'm very sensitive to solutions. I'm very sensitive to smells. So for me, it was really important to find good products that will be as clean as possible, will have little irritation, and won't really compromise, spray tans or like those over-the-counter spray tans have a very distinct smell, which I dislike. So what person, imagine you get a spray tan and boyfriend goes, ooh, you smell funny. You wouldn't want that. So I've went through multiple solutions. I've tried different people spray tanning me just to see what's lacking, what I can improve, and just created something that the service does a good job and also leaving you feeling great without any after effects and smell or horrible tan lines. So
I love that. And how long does the spray tan last?
The spray tan, if you prepare it nicely, if you maintain it well throughout, which I always walk through with clients, it will last you a good 7 to 10 days. People that are more physically active, of course, if they're sweating or constantly in the pool.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga. Yeah, I spray tan myself a lot. So mm-hmm. because I do a lot of videos and, a little glow won't hurt anyone. But I also do a lot of hot yoga, which is like the adversity of it. But it's still, it sheds down faster. But I just partnered up with a company. We kind of brought the awareness. Apparently, there's a national holiday, National Spray Tanning Day. It's official. And I think they're just also trying to bring awareness of the spray tans and the healthy looking glow without compromising your skin.
I love that you're talking about compromising skin, because I think the sunbeds, more and more people are already aware of how bad it actually is. I see a lot of people walking outside and not even using sunscreen. And I always say, it's so important to wear sunscreen, even if it's cloudy. Like, you gotta protect your sun, your skin from the sun. And it's a great idea to do an organic spray tan, because I think everyone, like when we go out, when we wear a dress, and it just makes us, like, I personally always feel so good when my skin is a little tanned as well.
A spray tan before.
I've done a spray tan in London. I must say a few went really wrong.
You gotta have a few of those.
Yeah, a few went really wrong. But those that went well, I really loved it. And it just makes me feel like so comfortable within my own skin. And it's nice when I wear a white dress. And that's why when I read that, I was like, wow, I really got to try it, because it's also not so far away from me. And it's so nice.
Close.
Yes.
I would be happy to do that for you. You're welcome to the studio. I just, it's funny because I talk to many people and I say, what initiated you to getting a spray tan? Because I not only see women, I see men as well. And men is actually a much higher percentage that show up to do spray tan.
Especially in California.
And they're like, you know what? I don't want to harm my skin. I want to look bronzed. Mm-hmm. I want to feel good. I just don't, I want to avoid sound exposure. And it's like beautiful sound to my ears. So of course, when you have a spray tan, that doesn't mean it protects you from the UV rays. You still have to apply the sunscreen, but there are little things like this that you can do to make a difference. Still look good, emphasize your in you.
Absolutely. No, it's such a great idea. And we'll also put the link into the show notes so people who are in California can definitely try that out. Or if they want your luxury organic tan in their city, that they can reach out to you, because it's, I really, 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 really love it. I actually have so many more questions, but I also know you're very busy. So I will pick actually one of them.
It's been such a beautiful conversation.
So. Yeah, I love, and I'm so glad you came on. And one of the many great things that I found out about you when doing my research for the question is you, like, at your heart, your what really feeds your soul and your heart is helping people. And I think throughout the conversation, everything you said, you know, like, friends come to you so they feel better. And like everything you did in the medical field, everything you're doing now with your clients, with your community. But there is something that I found that touched me very deeply. And you volunteered many times for Save the Children in Uganda and also other countries, where you helped with orphan care, medical clinic assistance, and community development. And I wonder, is there maybe one particular story that touched your heart very deeply that you could share with us and maybe even reaffirmed you in your commitment to being of service and helping others?
Sure. I'm glad you picked this. You did a really good job of researching.
Thank you.
You know, I love helping for sure, and I would really inspire people to look into it. Kind of also falls into the purpose. Whatever your intention is, helping others will give you that fulfillment as well, or not being only involved in yourself. I went to Uganda. That was actually one of my best, very touching trips that I did. It was in high school, and we went to help build the orphanage for kids of Uganda in a very small country. I was going there to experience Africa as a high school kid and just do my deed and help the community. I came back completely transformed because I feel like they helped me realize a few things. And just, it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience that I've had. We spent there 2 weeks. I remember driving in the big van and seeing kids and parents sitting on the ground on that red clay of Africa, barely any clothes, sitting on cardboards or even sleeping in cardboard boxes and still being so happy. And as we were doing and working, and we taught classes, we played games with kids, we also built, actually physically built painted stuff. It was just such a blessing because they were there to bring us joy, to support us. They were so happy. They were giving so much love. Like, I think that was just really transforming. That was one of my biggest trips that I've done. And since then, I kind of said it to myself, I really want to be involved in community more. Give back of what I can with my skills, with my attention, presence, whatever, and being involved with even that hospital for kids, cancer hospital, just giving them the time and playing and having a good time. They never know like when they're gonna go, like how soon they're gonna pass away, but they're still joyful and they're so grateful. And that was just really transforming and touching my heart. So to this day, I think of this and think of like how little you need for a person to be happy and how much love and gratitude they'll give you for as little and less as they have. And yeah, I was just really fortunate that I was a part of that. those missions, working even in the city with lunches and everything, helping. So I think it's really important to be a part of it and be involved with the community in that way.
It's so heartwarming how you describe how fortunate you were to be part of this. And it's right. It's beautiful and it shows how humble you are, because I know many people would say it the other way around. Oh, they are so lucky that I'm helping them. And I find it very beautiful and loving and kind for you to say that you are grateful for it. And what I also really love that you pointed out, it's you shared your skills and your time and your presence, because a lot of people associate helping with money. And then they say, oh, but I don't have money by the end of the month to donate. And maybe this is a great reminder for anyone listening who wants to contribute to communities, whether it's kids with cancer or elderly people or someone across the street or homeless people, you know, there or the environment. There's so much out there, areas and people that need our help. And our help can go way beyond money, way beyond money. And I think it's a great little reminder for people who want to contribute that all you need is making the time and being present.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought this up, Sarah, because I definitely think it's, money can do a lot of things, but also people put a little cap saying, well, I can't this month, or this is too much, or they give so many excuses. But you don't really have to travel to Africa to help people. Mm-hmm. You can be in your own hometown and find time to volunteer and see, how can I contribute? I'm an accountant. I can run the numbers for you. Or if you have a social network and connection, you can reach out and say, this is for the good cause, where not only you're involved, but you're contributing into your own community. You want them to grow, and you want them to, you bring them each other up. And that's important.
What are you currently doing in your community in California, other than serving more than 1 million people online?
It's funny because you brought this up. I've helped so many before, and just recently I've been looking to find myself and fit myself into something where I can be more involved in sponsoring, as well as just me bringing awareness to the organization. I'm currently talking to two that are really both aligned with my heart. I don't know if I should disclose this now or not, but they're both great, amazing organizations. One is Girls on the Run. I think they're doing an incredible job. You may have heard them, but they're teaching young girls through the different activities to kind of find themselves confident and give them that beauty of learning the skills, which I'm very intrigued and I really want to be a part of. I was at a retreat and one of the representatives was there, so I think it's a beautiful thing. The second organization that I also am looking into, and maybe I can do both work, however I can contribute, but it's idea that also to teach kids through dance and encourage them of all of the healthy activities, teach them wellness, teach them what the self-care way is, but through movement, through mindful activities, art. So it's a program that's local that helps kids for the after school, you know, those that are waiting to be picked up, to entertain them that way and help them learn all of the things that you can do as an adult, that we relearn how to do self-care. And it's for a good cause. All of them are for a good cause.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And I love that you brought those two very different foundations up, because it just shows there is so much out there where we can help. And I also want to point out, very often people can go to the local church, because they also, you know, like do a lot of things, whether it's for the environment, whether it's for the animals, whether it's for elderly people. I, for example, am going to volunteer for people that are grieving. So I think there's just so much out there. And then, for example, on Sunday, there's a walk on Santa Monica, you know, collecting all the plastic on the beach. And yeah, so there's so much that we can do. And I love that you brought those two foundations up and that you shared that with us. I always wrap up every conversation with a little pet Q&A. So very easy questions. Okay. I will ask you about Chanel. If Chanel had a human job, what do you think she would do?
Oh my gosh. She would probably run the model runway. Like, she's so sassy and so bossy. I feel like she would do something like that. She loves posing. And anytime I put something nice on her, like a jacket, her personality changes. And she knows it. So.
That is so funny. And if you could ask her one question, what would it be?
Oh, that's such a good one. Okay, I'll do a silly one because I'm curious what she dreams about. Yeah, she just has very active dreams where she smiles a little, smirks and runs. And I think I would just want to hear some of it, whatever she remembers. But I want to see what her trajectory of the world is in her dreams.
I love that question. Recently, I actually read a study that dogs are very likely to dream about us because, you know, they love us so much. And we have
like that too.
Yes. So I think it's even a Harvard study where they say that they dream about. So yeah, whenever I see our dog being excited, I'm like, he's dreaming about me. And whenever he's not excited, I'm like, he's dreaming about someone else.
Something else.
Yeah.
I will think the same thing too. Yeah. Oh, they're just such beautiful things. I saw a reel on Instagram and I cried. I hope I can retell it. But it said something like, we have multiple best friends in our life, but our dog has one and only best friend, and it's just us.
Oh, that's so nice.
Just treat your dog as your best friend, like this is your one and only lifetime mm-hmm. partner, because they give you so much joy and so much love, and that really touched me. And yeah,
and also, they love us for who we are. Whether we have a bad hair day, exactly. Whether we are grumpy, whether we are happy, whether, you know, like we're like our fittest or not, yes. Most successful or not, they just love us for who we are and not for what we have or for what we achieve, unless it's treats.
Exactly.
Then it is different.
Yeah. That is different.
Then it's a different story.
I must agree to that.
And my last question, what is one of the many reasons you're grateful for Chanel?
Oh, many grateful reasons. I think just, I don't know, her morning wake-ups, the way she does it. She, anytime, because she'll go for a morning walk with my boyfriend, and the moment she comes in, she rushes through and jumps over my bed to wake up and licks me all over and looks at me, you know, like when dogs stare down and he's like, hey, it's time to wake up, and gives me that full energy. No matter what I was doing, she stops the moment. It's like, I'm here. Mm. Love me. I love you. And I'm just happy for that. She never has bad days. Never. And well, unless she's like not well, but yeah. And I'm just grateful for that, for my little bundle of joy.
But, you know, I also think one of the reasons why Chanel is such a happy dog is because you are such a sunshine. I do think that our energies riff off, And of course, there are some characters that are more grumpy and some are not, and dogs as well. But I think overall, our energy really feeds their energy. So when we're happy and when we're like looking for the positives, the dog is more likely also to be positive. So I want to make sure you take this as a, you credit yourself.
I'm glad I have such an impact on my puppy. Well, which is kind of true now that it makes me say, because when we go and run around the beach, sometimes other owners we run into, they'll say, oh, she's so calm. You must be calm too. Like they resemble, I never thought of this. And we do affect them and their lifestyle as well.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I am so glad you came onto our show today. Thank you so much for inspiring us to take care of ourselves, to take care of others, that there's so much how we can contribute. Also for people to remember, we can have multiple purposes and that's absolutely okay. And also how much we get rewarded when we take the leap of faith to close one door and to walk through the other without knowing what's going to come along. Also, how different our wellness journeys can be, that we can incorporate painting and dancing and sauna and everything as long as it's something, you know, that makes us happy. I'm really sorry at that point we had a little issue with the Wi-Fi and the rest of the conversation, which was only 2 minutes, couldn't be recorded. But unfortunately, we could get everything else in. So thank you so much for tuning in. And please let us know your thoughts on this episode. And don't forget to tag both Elena and us. And we can't wait to have you back next Wednesday.